All right, let's focus on the resurgence, the second wave, where we are up to in terms of COVID-19 in the country and in the province. I'm joined now by Dr. Jodie Boffa, epidemiologist at the Centre for Rural Health in KZN. Dr. Boffa, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Okay, where are we up to on this second wave? Do we officially have one? Do scientists like you talk about it as a second wave?
I mean, we're exposed to the media just as much as everyone. So, of course, we're all anticipating that a second wave will be possible. But I think at this point, with the numbers, if you look at the graphs, although we have had a bit of an uptick, especially in the Western Cape of late, I would hasten to say it's anything close to a second wave at this point.
Right. What does equal a second wave? I saw in a message Malam Windy, the Premier of the Western Cape, that a resurgence is officially a 20% increase week on week. We're at about 13%. Is that number significant, 20%?
I mean, I look at the numbers and I look at the trends. So what have the trends been doing? And it does, the numbers tend to bounce up and down. Again, we get our 7-day averages, which sort of helps you to even that out a little bit. But I still think, in terms of what we have to worry about in terms of going outside and being exposed, we have to consider that, you know, that resurgence is based on a very low number still. We still have quite low numbers relatively for the province and for the country. That's not to say we should be slack. I want to be very cautious of saying that. And that's not to say that we couldn't be on our way to a second wave. But at this point, I just don't see it.
Do you see anything that indicates that it's coming, or at the moment you're just saying it's not there, brackets, for now, close brackets?
I think that's probably the best way of looking at it. I know I saw an article that said on News 24 that said we were 42% up earlier this week because of some small breakouts in Cape Town. And I think because they were handled so quickly, that could turn into something in the long term, right? When you have, it was upwards of almost 100 people from one event who suddenly became COVID test positive. So those people, if they hadn't been tracked and traced and kept in isolation or informed to stay home and stay safe, you know, that could very quickly turn into something. But at this point, it just hasn't happened. So we just, you know, as long as we're still, there will be these outbreaks here and there. As long as we're still vigilant about tracking them, about tracing them, about making sure that people are doing the things they need to do to avoid spreading it, especially to people who are the most at risk, we're doing okay.
And we seem to be doing okay. I don't know if you, as an epidemiologist, track this. We seem to be doing okay in terms of hospital admissions, people in ICU, people on ventilators, all those key indicators of the real stress points in the system.
Yeah, and that's also something to keep in mind. We've come a long way from when this virus first hit the country. There are different treatment modalities that keep people out of ICU, keep people in ICU alive. So even if this dreaded second wave comes, I hesitate to say it with too much confidence, but I don't think we would see the death rate nearly close to what it was at the initial time. We're learning things as we go. We've also got, you know, more people have had it, and hopefully we don't know a lot about immunity yet, but hopefully we're building up that immunity within our population so that if it were to hit again, it probably wouldn't hit as hard.
Talk to me about this immunity. I was reading today, and I'm very cautious about being absolute about anything I read, but I read a statement that said herd immunity, this thing that people talk about, has never been achieved anywhere with a serious virus without a vaccine. Is that the case? Is herd immunity a little bit of a, if not a myth, then a pipe dream?
Well, I don't know if it's never been achieved. I haven't read the same article, and I'm trying to think of an example where that could prove otherwise. But obviously, a vaccine is going to boost your numbers much higher. A vaccine that's effective,
yeah,
is going to boost those numbers up much higher and much more quickly. And presuming that the immunity is long term, that's going to help us a lot because, as it looks right now, at least with the antibodies seem to be quite short-lived with COVID, especially if you didn't have it if you had an asymptomatic infection, for example, in the first place. Those antibodies don't seem to last a long time.
All right. So the notion that we will develop an immunity because a substantial number of people will get the virus without it being given to us through a vaccine is probably not realistic?
Again, it's very difficult to say because the virus is so new. And,
yeah.
And you know, just antibody testing alone doesn't give us a good idea of immunity. You may not need antibodies to have some form of immunity.
Okay.
So those things we're still learning. Of course, we hope that we can, while we're waiting for some vaccine to come through the population, that we're building up some semblance of immunity within the population that will certainly, you know, help us go avoid going through these massive second or third waves as have been seen in other places. But I think at this point, it's just too soon to tell. Obviously, the vaccine will be a vaccine that is effective long term will be the best option for us, especially for those people who are the most at risk from having severe responses.
What do you mostly look at now in terms of trying to explain this as yet unexplained situation? As you say, the virus is new. We're learning about it, about why there was a much less significant impact in South Africa and indeed the rest of Africa than most of us anticipated. When this first came towards us, there was an assumption we would be worse hit than the rest of the world. And yet we haven't been. And as an epidemiologist, what are your sort of initial conclusions on why that happened?
I think it is such a myriad of factors. But part of it is we had an early warning system. I think people came to the African continent much later in terms of the tourists and other people moving around that brought it here. It happened after some of those major outbreaks happened in Europe and other parts of the world, and we learned from it, and so we could respond faster. I think that's a huge factor that we can't ignore. But I also think, I mean, like I said, a myriad of things happened. And maybe part of that is people having been exposed to other viruses, other infections that may have provided some protection against it. But I do think we were very quick to respond in ways that enabled us to avoid becoming overwhelmed by the virus in the early days.
Jody, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. Dr. Jody Boffa there, the epidemiologist at the Center for the Rural Health in KZN. Some very interesting stuff from her there.